This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 1205. Good afternoon. It's great to have you with us for the Black Friday edition of the Noon Business Hour. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Rob Hart for Chris Kreidel. 56 degrees in Chicago with just a few clouds. A sunny day after Thanksgiving. Topic out at 59 today. The complete AccuWeather forecast is coming up.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park and also sponsored by the Northern Illinois Food Bank. Let's kick things off with an update from Wall Street where the markets have just closed. Let's see how we did. Elisa Perrin.
Well, Cisco and Rob, we have some fresh records for the NASDAQ and the S&P. Traders making the most of this half day, getting it done early. The Dow at one point did trade to a new inner session high, but finishes just shy of its previous record. So the Dow up 32 points to 23,558. Previous high, 23,591. The NASDAQ up 22 points to 6,889. S&P up 5 to 2,602. Previous high, 2,599. So some records on the day. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index gave back just a fraction. So far, this Black Friday's day sales are robust. Consumers have been tempted by pre-sales. Online spending in the first 3 weeks of November up 18% year on year. That from Adobe Analytics. The National Retail Federation is projecting 69% of us will shop at stores or online over the long weekend. Total holiday spending may climb 4% from last year. Also want to let you know the price of oil is rising to almost $59 a barrel for the first time in 2 years. Those involved in the talks say OPEC and Russia have an outline of a deal to extend oil production cuts to the end of next year. Back to you, Cisco and Rob.
Well, this is going to be a Black Friday and holiday heavy edition of the Noon Business Hour. Coming up at 12:09, we'll talk about how Black Friday shopping is going so far. And then at 12:19, we'll talk about online shopping and keeping your personal information safe this holiday season.
Entrepreneur Friday, someone who has come up with a way to help you with those Christmas lights when just one or two of the bulbs go out. And we will, of course, have a wrap up on all of the holiday retail, what has happened so far, and what's expected over the next couple of weeks. All of that and loads more on today's Noon Business Hour.
The best daily deal in Chicago, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
The Business of Christmas is sponsored by Tree Time. It's been Black Friday for 12 hours already, so how's it going? Let's find out from Jan Rogers Niffen, CEO of J. Rogers Niffen Worldwide in New York. Welcome back to the program. And at first glance, it seems like we can take all of our narratives about shopping malls returning to the land because everybody is shopping online. We can take those narratives and set them aside because people are, at first glance, they're going to the stores today.
Well, we're really about 3 weeks into Black Friday as opposed to 12 hours, and we've had a really good 3 weeks running up to it, and we've seen all the same sales for the last 3 weeks that we're seeing today, pretty much, that we'll see also on Cyber Monday. And yes, it's been a very good selling season so far. It's mostly been a very good selling season, though, because everyone's working. Unemployment's as low as it's been in years. Job availability is the best it's been in eternity. And costs aren't high. We're not seeing any inflation, and we're seeing interest rates very low, and we're seeing asset prices rise. And this is as good as it gets, including the weather, for the Christmas selling season. And I think we're seeing that reflected in sales. But you probably noticed that the real sales jump on Black Friday and yesterday so far has been online, up 18 to 20% in the best estimates I've seen so far, where none of us think that online or total sales are up more than 4 or 5%. So that doesn't leave nearly as much for brick-and-mortar sellers as they would like to see, and that's been the problem consistently for the last 3 years of selling.
So is that the canary in the coal mine for the brick-and-mortar retailers, is that these are almost perfect conditions for shopping in terms of the economy and even the weather, and still online is running away with it. So, you know, they're one recession away, I guess, from being in real trouble.
Well, brick-and-mortar retailing is already in trouble, right? We've already seen this year more than 6,500 store closings announced. Last year, that was 2,200. And we've seen about 3,400 store openings announced. Last year, that was also about 2,200. So we're seeing twice as many closings as openings, and the closings are larger on average than the closings are. I mean, the closings are larger on average than the openings are. So we're certainly seeing an attrition in brick-and-mortar retailing. However, yes, we have seen a good Thursday for people that were open, and we've seen a good Black Friday, and we're seeing growth both online and in-store. But the big growth is coming online, and that will continue right through the end of the holiday selling season almost. We should see enormous brick-and-mortar days on the 22nd and the 23rd when it's too late to shop online, and that will be the two probably best-selling days of this year for brick-and-mortar. It will probably not be today. But today may well be the best-selling day for online, even though every other year it has been Cyber Monday, which would be next Monday. That's happening because this year about 38% of the people said we're going to go out and shop inside of a store. Last year about 58% of the people told us that. Well, those that aren't are sitting home shopping anyway, and I think this will probably be the first year that online sales are bigger on Black Friday than Cyber Monday. That doesn't mean that we won't see 80% of the sales overall still come in stores. We will. But there's a lot more stores than we need for 80% of the sales to come in stores, and that's the issue we're all getting into. There'll still be winners. Walmart's definitely winning this game this holiday selling season. We're seeing good numbers out of them, and we'll see strength out of people like Costco that are big players. We'll see strength out of people like Children's Place. We'll continue to see winners through the space, but it's still harder and harder to fight that battle, relatively speaking, compared to what it used to be before the Internet was doing so much business.
Great insight as always, Jan. Thank you. Jan Rogers-Niffen, CEO of J. Rogers-Niffen Worldwide, based in New York. Not just bargain hunters on the prowl today, so are cyber criminals. That's coming up on today's Noon Business Hour.
Loaning useful information each weekday. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The watchword for online holiday shoppers may not be bargain. It may be bogus. There are ways to score a deal without becoming someone's score yourself. We get cyber safety advice from Jerry Irvine, CIO of Chicago's Prescient Solutions, also a member of the National Cyber Security Task Force. Jerry, one of the things that we hear about a lot, phishing emails, these phishing scams, and as all kinds of deals, I know my email box has been filled with all of these Black Friday deals. Give us some tips on how people can know what's a scam and what's maybe an email that's telling you about a real sale.
Yeah, unfortunately, this malvertising, malicious advertising, is really hard to determine what's real and what's not. You're going to get emails that have links in them that say, if you click here, you're going to get a 20% discount or 50% off, or you're going to get even ads on your cell phones. You're in an app, and there'll be an ad that comes up here and says, click here for the biggest Christmas deals. And the problem is you don't know what's real and what's not. So never click on an email. Never click on an ad. What you need to do is write down what that coupon was. Go to the website itself. Go to the manufacturer's website. Go to the store's website and see if it's there. About 70% of the time, that article or that coupon is false. So you want to make sure that you're not clicking on links. You're not opening up attachments. If it says open this coupon and take it to the store with you, that's probably a virus. No stores today are requiring you have printed coupons. So don't open attachments. Don't click on the embedded URLs. And don't click on the ads that are on your phones or even in your browsers. Those are the things that hackers are using today to get you.
What about people? So that's dealing with phishing scams. What about people who say, hey, I'm going to go out to a coffee shop and do my shopping there and hang out? What about an unsecured network?
Yeah, so actually a couple days ago there was a big article on Russian cyber criminals who were going out to large hotels, train stations, plane, you know, the airports and things, and using these publicly accessible Wi-Fis to create man-in-the-middle attacks. And what happens is a hacker can sit there with his computer and make it look like it is the coffee shop's access point or the airport's access point. And what will happen is everything that goes to the Internet comes to their PC first, and then goes out to the internet. So you're able to get your to your website, you're able to get to your bank, you're able to use your credit card. It's just everything that you do gets copied to their PC. So never use publicly accessible Wi-Fis, or if you do, what you want to use is a VPN. There are VPN software applications that will encrypt all of your traffic to allow you to use these public Wi-Fis, but that way it's all encrypted and the hackers can't read it.
And then lastly, two-factor authentication. We may find it to be irritating to go through all of those steps to get to where you want to go, but it's absolutely essential in this day and age.
Yeah, passwords today are just broken. They don't work. Any single form factor of authentication isn't going to work. So what you want to do is make sure you have two. The first time you go to your bank, the bank will reply back, "I don't recognize this device. So I'm going to text you to make sure that this is you." Then you get the text, you put the key back in, and you put the password, and now it lets you in. At that point in time, the bank or even Facebook now will come back and say, "Okay, now I know this device. Do you want me to remember it?" No, don't remember it, because then you turn off the two-form factor authentication. You always want to make sure that when somebody logs into that with your password, you're going to get an alert. So if you get a text back saying, "Hey, was this you that just tried to get into your bank account?" Now you know somebody's trying to get into it. So always use the two-form factor authentication. Every social media application has it now, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, and your banks all have it as well. So it's an important way to protect yourself from being hacked.
Thanks a lot, Jerry Irvine, CIO of Prescient Solutions and also a member of the National Cybersecurity Task Force. Coming up, what's moving Wall Street? Hit on Entrepreneur Friday, from pre-lit trees to that gizmo that fixes strings of holiday lights.
WBBM News Time, 12:25, taking a look at Wall Street on a shortened trading day. At Bloomberg, here's Elisa Parenti.
Cisco, the Dow added 32 points and the NASDAQ up 22 points, or a third of a percent. The NASDAQ finishes at a new record, as does the S&P 500, which rose a quarter percent or 5 points and went above its previous high, 25.99, to finish at 26.02. We are seeing a rally for crude oil futures, gaining more than 1.5%, right now at $58.94 a barrel. So we're seeing crude move to its highest levels in about 2 years. Uber's new CEO was told about the hack before he took over on September 5th. The Wall Street Journal reports he was ordering an investigation. He wanted to see that completed before going public with the breach that impacted 57 million users. We have a check of the grain markets with Pete Manhart. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal. Pete?
Early in the day, we were mixed, and then we went lower across the day. Corn was down as much as 5. We came back and closed, well, it's not a close, it's last tick. December down 3.5, March down 2. Beans were down as much as 6. They came back and had January down 3.25 at the end of the day at 9.94. The July is down 2.5 at 10.23¾. And wheat was down as much as 9, came back and last tick was down 6 at 4.34¾. Lower across the board on the grains. And this is Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal.
Thanks, Pete. I'm Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. Good afternoon. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Rob Hart for Chris Kreidel. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
Stocks hit new highs on a shortened trading day.
It's Entrepreneur Friday on the Noon Business Hour, the company that helps light up the holidays while keeping us sane.
Another look at Black Friday from an analyst who's been out there with shoppers.
Those calling for justice do it on Michigan Avenue on Black Friday.
And hundreds of people are dead in an attack on a mosque in Egypt. Sinai Peninsula.
WBBM Business, it was a shortened trading day on Wall Street. The Dow closed up 32 points. The S&P 500 up 5.25, and the NASDAQ is up 22.
Sunshine throughout your day. Temperatures hovering around 60 degrees. Right now, 57 O'Hare, 56 Midway, 55 along Chicago's lakefront. The Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park and also sponsored by Majestic Star Casino.
Well, it was a shortened day for Wall Street, and we get the wrap and look ahead to next week with Chuck Carlson. Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services and publisher of the Dow Theory Forecast newsletter based in Hammond and author of Winning with the Dow's Losers. Chuck, welcome back to the program. Half day today for traders and investors. And what's your take on this rather shortened day for the shortened week for the markets?
See, it's kind of what I expected to see. If you go back in time, typically the Friday after Thanksgiving tends to have a little bit of an upward bias. It tends to be more of a kind of individual players who have a little bit more optimism typically. And so, you know, it was kind of a continuation of the upward bias that we've seen really for the last several months, and something that I think we're going to continue to see through the remainder of this year.
Well, we are now in, I guess you want to call it year-in-review season. We're going to start looking back on 2017. How would you summarize Wall Street's performance this year?
Well, you know, by all accounts, it's been a good year. There have been certain segments of the market that have underperformed. You look at small caps, which have started to show a little bit of strength, but they've kind of underperformed large caps. But by and large, I think most people are probably pleased with what's happened this year. I think what's interesting is not so much the results, but how people ascribe the results. You know, this has been called, you know, even going back to after the election, the Trump rally of this year. And I think there's been, quite frankly, a little too much put on dynamics other than the fact it's been a good corporate earnings story this year. And at the end of the day, it's earnings that really drive stocks in a sustained way. And I think people that kind of have overlooked that fact that it's really been earnings driven. And that's one of the reasons why I think it can continue, because I think there's still a pretty good bullish story out there when it comes to corporate profits.
So the fundamentals are strong. It sounds like that's what you're saying, as opposed to people simply driving stocks higher because they're hoping tax reform or something else happens. It's not because of hopes and wishes.
No, it isn't. And you know, you have a lot of people saying, well, it's a bubble out there, and stocks are extremely overvalued, and there's no there. And the fact is, there is there, and it's called corporate profits. And when you combine that in an environment where you still have fairly low interest rates and you have fairly low inflation, that makes for a pretty positive story for stocks. So, you know, again, if tax reform doesn't get through in some form, could the market have a bit of a pullback? Sure, there's some of that priced into the market, but I don't think that's you're going to lead to a bear market. It might lead to more of kind of your garden variety 3-5% correction. But again, there is fundamental basis to this. This is not a bubble. And again, driver of that has really been the corporate profit story.
How significant is this season here, the holiday shopping season, for retailers throughout the rest of the year? How dependent are they upon having a good couple of weeks here?
Well, I think it's still very important, particularly for the brick and mortar retailers, to demonstrate that they can still drive sales in a time when people are continuing to use their phone as the mall. And I think that also brings up an issue that people need to kind of take a step back. When you start getting reports about the strength of the holiday shopping season, to understand there has been a significant shift, obviously, in how people interact in this season. And while there's still a lot of people going to the malls, there's still an awful lot of people that are buying online. And so if you see things like, you know, mall businesses down and brick-and-mortar retailers are down, I'm not sure that's necessarily a reflection of the consumer spending out there, because, again, so much of it is migrating to the Internet.
This does seem to be a day, though, in which a number of narratives went down in flames. I mean, just talking about the pressures that do exist on the retail sector and will continue to exist once the holiday season's over. But I guess today, if you do run a brick and mortar store, you can party like it's 2009.
Yeah, well, their stocks actually had a pretty good day today, and that may be not so much a function that there's a tremendous amount of optimism for brick-and-mortar retailers during the season, but just the fact that those stocks have just gotten beaten down so badly that any kind of seemingly, you know, positive news has helped the stocks. I still think, you know, it is still going to be a challenge for a lot of the brick-and-mortar and the mall-based retailers as we get through the holiday season. I think those challenges aren't going away. From a stock perspective, Wall Street is trying to figure out is if in fact we've seen those retailers fall to levels that are just too tough to pass up. And that's why I think you saw some of the bounce today in a lot of the brick and mortar retailers.
So what's the Dow theory telling us these days?
The Dow theory is still bullish. It has been bullish. The performance, the last major signal under the Dow theory was an indication of new highs in both the Dow Jones Industrials and the Dow Jones Transportation Average. Now, what has happened a little bit, and it's worth watching, I don't think it's worth firing off alarms, but it is something that's worth watching. And if, you know, you and I have this conversation 4 to 6 weeks from now, and the situation hasn't changed, it's still worth watching. And that is the Dow Jones Transportation Average has not reached the new highs that we have seen in the industrials over the last month and a half or so. So we have a little bit of divergence between the Dow Jones Industrial and Dow Jones Transportation Average. That doesn't necessarily mean that the market is setting up for a bear market. But what it does mean is it's typically difficult for the broad market to sustain a big move to the upside without help from the Dow Jones Transportation Average and transportation stocks in general, because they are such bellwethers for the economy. So that's something, if investors are looking out there for a potential kind of canary in the coal mine, if you continue to see the Dow Jones Transportation Average kind of meander around or even start to trend lower, that could, you know, be an indication that maybe we're in for a little bit more volatility in the broader market.
Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services, publisher of the Dow Theory Forecast newsletter. Coming up, the company that has saved many from tearing their hair out over holiday lights, celebrating an anniversary.
Discussing the news affecting your money, the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Entrepreneur Friday here on the Noon Business Hour. We're talking with the businessman behind the Lightkeeper Pro. Welcome to the Noon Business Hour, John DeCosmo, founder and president of Ulta Lit Tree Company in Glenview. John, welcome to the show. I guess let's begin by telling people, in case they're not familiar with it, what is the Lightkeeper Pro?
Okay, this is about a $20 tool, and the way it works, we can bring most incandescent light sets back to life in seconds. It works by pulling out any one bulb of the non-functioning set, inserting the product, pulling the trigger, and we send little pulses of electricity into the set.
So for people who have dealt for years with, hey, this string of lights isn't working, and it's one light, and I don't know which one, this helps them figure out which one it is, which bulb.
Absolutely. That one that you used to throw away, if you tested them all and one didn't illuminate, we get that to do what it was always designed to do.
So how many years of frustration did you go – how many years of frustration went by until you decided to solve the problem with science?
Necessity is the mother of invention. I'm in this trade all my life. When I was born, my father was a maker of artificial trees. I went into business for myself 30 years ago. In 1996, I started this company selling pre-lit trees with only one competitor in the nation, ironically in Chicago. 1999 was both my best and worst year. It was number one in sales, and our quality was the worst. Trees were burning out too fast. The bulbs were too bright. The next year, I commissioned an engineer, and he solved this problem right before my eyes in a 15-minute exercise that we went through.
Is there the technology of Christmas lights, is it starting to reach a point where you don't have to worry about lights burning out anymore as we go into LED technology and Lord knows what else?
Of course. An LED light set, which is incredibly popular outside the house, it is more robust, that they last longer, and there is energy savings for them. Conversely, in the house, you have to pay a premium for an LED set. So if I choose a pre-lit tree with 1,000 lights on it, that might be 20 sets of 50, okay? Well, if I pay $5 extra for LED, now we're up to $100 extra for that tree. People still buy to this day millions of incandescent pre-lit trees, and for good reason. Number one, they like the look. Number two, there is a money savings. That tree is going to consume about $10 in energy per year incandescent compared to $1.50 or $1 for LED. The payback is hard.
John, tell us quickly here some advice for other aspiring entrepreneurs, especially about financing. When you have an idea like this, how do you get the money you need in order to really make it take off?
Well, I'll tell you this. When you believe in it, and this is a very, this is being honest with yourself. When you believe in it, don't quit. Our story is rather interesting for this reason. After the invention, we knew that we needed a lot more money than either the inventor or myself had. We went to money people. We talked with them. The delays were very discouraging. The percentage of interest that they might want in the company were discouraging. And we finally looked at ourselves many months later and laid out a plan on the back of a napkin. If we both tighten our belts, this would be possible to do it ourselves. And I'm proud to say in my case, I did it without ever borrowing against the home or ever touching a little coin collection that I've had all my life. But boy, I ran up credit cards, borrowed against life insurance policies for something that did pay off. We needed a lot of engineering and professional fee money to the tune of $500,000.
Yeah, and it certainly worked out for you. Thank you, John, for being here. Encouraging. John DeCosmo, founder and president of Ulta Lit Tree Company, the maker of Lightkeeper Pro in Glenview's, where he's based. Thanks for being with us as our entrepreneur this Friday.
WBBM News Time, 12:55. Let's take one more look at the market, sponsored by Lake Forest Sports Cars, the Ferrari specialists. Here's Elisa Parenti at Bloomberg.
Well, we won the session. It finished less than an hour ago, an early close for Wall Street. The Dow up 32 points in the half day of trade. NASDAQ higher by 22, a gain of 0.3%, pushing to a new record. Same for the S&P, up 5 points to a new record of 2,602, above 2,599, the previous record. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index gave back just a fraction. Thanksgiving Day spending rose to a record, according to Adobe Analytics, that had investors buying shares of Amazon. Amazon stock finishes at a record high. And as we do get holiday shopping season underway here, retailers are contending with a new challenge: extra shipping fees during the busiest weeks. For the first time, UPS is slapping a surcharge on home delivery this weekend and the week before Christmas. The Wall Street Journal says it's got a lot of merchants switching to FedEx or to the Postal Service. With business at 25 and 55, live from Bloomberg, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.